All right. So Monday, I think we're going to have Councilman Gene Cook, a little bit of a messy legal situation unraveling last week. We'll get into that with Gene. That's Monday. Right now, Lance Gumbs, you heard him yesterday from the Shinnecock Indian Nation. We talked about the casino. It's a-coming. And I wanted to get into the billboard situation. And we were jammed and slammed. And we told Lance I'd like to get him on today. Nice enough to come back to us for a couple of minutes. Mr. Gumbs, how are you, sir? Thanks again for coming back. We thank you.
Thank you for having me back. I'm doing as best as I can today.
Absolutely. Lance, let's get into the billboards because, you know, again, a lot of backlash, the first one and everything else. You know, the supervisor was going at the Indian Nation, the 61 footers. They claimed it was a distraction and everything else. Give me the impetus of it all as far as, now obviously they're bringing in some revenue. There's advertising going on there and everything else there. Give me a little bit of a timeline of how that all kind of came into play way back. Go ahead.
Well, I was attending a conference. It's called the Res Economic, and it's a conference in Las Vegas that brings people who want to do business with Indian country together with tribes. And it's the largest conference that takes up the whole convention center in Las Vegas. And I was out there looking for some form of economic development for the tribe that would fit, that would not be, too obtrusive, something that we could do based on, our limited land base size. And I came across this sign project and I spoke with them and I said, this is something that would work out where we are. And it goes right back to the whole casino issue back in 2005, 2006. It talks about it really goes to the heart of the issue, and that was the traffic. They didn't want us to do the casino because of traffic. So I said, well, you know what? Here's a great idea. We got traffic there already. We didn't create the traffic, but we can utilize the traffic going by. And so that was the impetus, the idea behind it. And I brought it back to the nation, and we had several meetings on it, and we decided that it was a good idea. It was something that we could do on our land in Hampton Bays there. And the good part about it for us is we had no competition because they don't allow signs, so there's no type of signage for darn near, 40 miles of highway. So it was a perfect scenario for the tribe. And so we started to move forward with it. I did meet with Jay and show him the plans before we started to do it. I also met with the Department of Transportation at least seven times prior to us starting, the project, talking about, the safety protocols. I mean, we went through everything. The only sticking point with them was they wanted us to get a permit. And we said, no, we do not need a permit. It's on tribal land. And so we proceeded to start the process, which was in May of 2018. It's been 2 years. Yeah, 2 years now. 2019. And we lit the first sign through the controversy the Friday before Memorial Day weekend.
And, you mentioned Jay, Supervisor Jay Schneiderman. Listen, there was a lot of pushback and everything else. As you stated, it's on tribal land. Did you hear from the AG, Tish James, Letitia James? Well, what was that all of it? Was there any backlash coming from the state? What happened with that?
Well, we didn't hear from her. What it was the Department of Transportation said that we could not do it you know, that it was their easement. And we said, well, it may be your easement, which we can contest, because in 1958 they did this easement, this supposed easement, and they served this supposed Charles Smith, who was a tribal leader. But as everyone knows, our tribal nation and tribal officers are right here in Southampton on the reservation, and they supposedly served a Charles Smith in Babylon, New York. So the whole thing was shady to begin with. The state knew at the time that that was tribal land when they were trying to do this easement, because what they did is the land that's to the east of us, where the actual rest area is, to the west of us, and the land to the east of us, they actually condemned that land and took it from the homeowners under eminent domain. But in our section right there, they didn't do that. They did this phony easement because they knew that it was Indian land and they couldn't take it. And so, again, you know, they knew what they were doing, but it was just an outright theft of the land, or an attempted theft of the land by the state of New York back in the 1950s, 58, 59. And then, you know, the fact that they served this supposed tribal leader named Charles Smith in Babylon, New York, instead of right here on the reservation, at our regular tribal offices, is shadier than a $4 bill. So we don't acknowledge their easement, one, and two, their easement does not mean that they own the land. It just means that they had an easement through the land, but we still continue to own the land that the highway travels over, underneath the highway, and the land that's on either side of it. And so we felt we were within our right to utilize our land for the purposes of an economic development venture for the tribe. And that's what we did.
Gotcha. 1950, that's an interesting tidbit right there, folks. 1950, I go back now, okay? You're going back nearly 70 years. I mean, you know, 60, almost 65 years. And you see what's in place here. So very interesting stuff. So there was a bit of a halt as far as the construction. Once you got all the legalities out of the way, you finished it. Tell me about the second one now.
Well, actually, that's a misnomer. There actually wasn't a halt to the construction. We were going ahead with both signs. Obviously, what came into play was COVID. So, you know, that was what, you know, held it up. It wasn't the state holding it up. It wasn't the Department of Transportation. It was actually COVID that, you know, put a little monkey wrench in the second sign going up. But, you know, once we were able to get through that, and then there was, ironically, there was a steel shortage that created a second delay for the second sign. So once that, and if you remember, under the Trump administration, they started this embargo and this tariff situation with China. And so one of the things that it affected was the steel. And that created a little additional delay. But once those things were worked out, we went ahead with a second sign. And we went ahead with the second sign under the auspices of the fact that we now had a judge's decision in our favor as well. It took the Judge Berland a year in the Suffolk County Supreme Court to deny the state their TRO, their temporary restraining order. And in his decision, the judge made some very poignant remarks. He made the remark that he saw very little chance of the state winning against the tribe on the merits. He clearly said that has been Indian land since time immemorial. And he also said that he did not see any safety issue with the signs. You know, plural. He didn't say sign, which was the only one sign up. He said signs in the plural sense, talking about both signs. And he took a year to do that decision. We were upset, you know, that it was taking so long. But in the end, he made a very, very good decision for the tribe itself. And as a result of that, you know, we moved forward to continue the second sign. And then, you know, as you've seen, the sign went up. I was over there the day that the Department of Transportation came over to the new site and tried to serve the nation again with another stop work order. And, you know, we refused to abide by that stop work order. We told them that it did not pertain to us. And especially the fact that we had, you know, this judge's decision denying them any type of a restraining order against the nation. And so we went up with the second sign.
There you go. And, you know, it's interesting that you look at the county, the town, their hands are tied here. I mean, you know, listen, what's right is right. And it's tribal land. And there's nothing they can really do about it. I mean, that's really the bottom line, folks. But it's interesting, you actually got one of the great rock and rollers on your side. I was reading about Roger Waters with Pink Floyd. Tell me about the relationship and how that kind of came into play, Lance.
Well, one of our tribal attorneys, Tila Trope, and I had met him, and we were the, it was called Warriors of the Sunrise. They were having a sit-in over there during the month of November, which is Native American month. It's not as advertised as Black History Month, but nonetheless, the entire month of November is Native American History Month. And so the Warriors of the Sunrise, which is a number of people led by Becky Genia, who is the impetus behind the movie Conscious Point, led a protest, you know, over there to bring awareness to the issues. And Roger Waters attended that, and he was very impressed with, you know, the issues and the way that the state had, you know, been treating us for some 375 years with continued theft of our land. And, you know, just a note on that. There's a federal law that clearly talks about states taking land from tribes, and called the Non-Intercourse Act. And it says that no state, no town, no village, and it went right down to a farmer. No farmer can take land from an Indian tribe without an act of Congress. And New York State, being one of those states that, you know, claim they predate the Constitution, has never abided by that. And so they've continued to steal land from tribes in New York State, the 1859 theft of our land from the canal all the way to Tuckahoe Road, which was some 4,000 acres. So New York State has a habit of doing this, and that's, again, what they did in, or tried to do in 1958. Only we realized at that point that they just couldn't outright do it, so they did this easement. So he was very interested in you know, what was going on, and he just saw the injustice that the tribe had been going through for these many years, and decided, you know, that it was a cause that he wanted to get involved with. And he's been involved with it ever since, and actually helped to fund some of the legal costs that the tribe was incurring, and has been an ally to the nation ever since.
Yeah. Well, Lance, interesting stuff. We will follow your trek as far as the casinos and everything else. We wanted to get a little bit as far as the embryonic stages of the billboard introduction out to the East End. You know, listen, it's been a tough fight, no question about it. Keep us in the loop, okay? You know, you have a platform here. We want to be, you know, we want to be fair here, and quite frankly, the way things have shaped up, it sounds like the legalities and everything else have been on your side, rightfully so. I mean, listen, you've been fighting for this for a very long time. Final word, sir. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I just want to say, you know, that it was two purposes. You know, obviously, one was to produce revenue for the tribe by the sale of advertisement on the signs. But the second one was a pride factor as well. And that was, you know, to let people know that they were in the territory of the Shinnecock Indian Nation. You know, people ride through here, ride through that land and know nothing about us. They don't even know we exist. And so, you know, for us, it was a pride factor as well. You know, we put up these monuments as we look at them. With the tribal steel on there, you're letting everybody know that they're coming into and entering the Shinnecock territory, and that it was our land. And for us, it is twofold. It is the revenue generator, but it's also a major, major pride factor involved in those two monuments out there as well. And we're extremely proud of them. And, you know, the notion that they may be ugly, well, you know, just a quarter of a mile down the road, floating above the treetops right there is the ugliest cell tower that I've ever seen. Looks like a spaceship sitting on top of the trees when you come around the corner right there on Sunrise, sitting in the New York State Department of Transportation yard right there. So when people want to talk about what's ugly or what's not ugly, you know, we can go back and forth about that all day. But the reality of the situation is it wasn't a safety issue. There are 1.4 million billboards across the country, and none of them have created any kind of traffic problems. And that's one of the things that was in our favor as well, because in the whole year that the other billboard was up, there were no traffic accidents. And yet, right down the road from the billboard, a little way, you know, past Quag, you know, you had a driver going the wrong way on Sunrise, you know, and ended up having an accident, you know. So what are we talking about here? So again, you know, I just appreciate you having me on and giving us a little bit of a platform here to tell our side of the story. I thank you, as always, you know, for hearing out the nation's side.
It had to be told. Lance, thanks again. We'll talk soon, I'm sure. Thanks again, Lance. Appreciate it. Lance Gumbs, folks. Yep. And listen, that's what we do. You know, this is why we give platforms, so that all sides are heard. And, you know, quite frankly, folks, he's right, 100%. Their land, they've been shunned forever. He mentioned the cell thing, the homes and everything else. And it's almost as if they didn't exist. It's almost as if they think that the Shinnecocks really are invisible. And it's about time. Listen, it's an eye-opener. And it's about everybody coming together and working together and living together. Okay? This is what it's all about. Get too much division the way it is. So the way things have transpired, you know, lessons to be learned here.